Yeah.
Yo, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Hope everybody is having a great winter wonderland day. I'm here in Central Texas. It's cold and rainy. It hasn't quite frozen or snowed yet, but it's possible. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. It probably already is snowing there, is it?
I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And I'm out here in my Wormabago. That's the worm, because we're like seeing worms on the Fiends. The worm,
worms.
The Wormabago is my mobile command unit recording broadcast studio. And yesterday we were in the parking lot of Hell's Half Acre. And today, let's say we're, since it's undisclosed, I'll just say we're near Devil's Tower, maybe in the parking lot. If you see us, come on, if you see that, we have a giant satellite dish on the top. So if you see us, come on over and have some coffee with us here. Yep.
Yum.
So we started on a second station in Wyoming yesterday. We've been for a while on KYDT in Sundance. Thank
yes.
you. And we started pause. Yesterday in Casper on KVOC, the voice of Casper, Casper's newest talk station. And I had the amazing experience, because we're not live in Casper. We're delayed. We're 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturdays, and it'll be the same on Sundays after football season. But through football season, it's Sunday night at midnight till 2 a.m. Monday morning, which I like because people are very susceptible during that hour. Right, Nima?
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they? They're more open to suggestion.
Yeah. There's more theta waves in their brain during that time. That's why
more
the cops.
Thetans.
That's why the cops, when they come to get your guns, they kick in the door in the middle of the night, because you're, even if you're awake, you're kind of like mellow.
Yeah. You're more likely to obey.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Or just react slowly, because that's what they want.
Yes.
Yeah, but we started yesterday, and I actually had this experience that I've kind of wanted to have my whole life, because I've been wanting to be on radio since I was about 7. We actually got in the car and drove around town listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio in, I won't say my town, but a town that's near where I live.
A-town. Okay.
Yeah, I'm in Douglas, home of the giant jackalope today. That's right. Where I'm broadcasting from today.
I thought you were near Devil's Tower.
Well, there's different we work in shifts.
Oh, okay.
So I had a dream last night about the TSA that was really weird. It was that going through an airport. You know, I just finished my freedom cavity search, and was coming through, and somebody left a package, you know, and that's supposed to be like really worrisome at an airport. Like, oh no, someone left a package. But I looked at it was like a soft fabric purse, and it was kind of moving. And I was like, there's a cat or something in there. I opened it up.
Aww.
And there was a little tiny human in there. It was a little tiny old lady about 6 inches tall. I don't usually have weird dreams like this, but this is the first year hearing of this. I told you I had a TSA dream, but I didn't tell you what it was.
That was a genuine reaction. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't want anything to happen to this poor little tiny old lady. So
of course not.
But I didn't want to stick around and deal with the TSA. And there was a priest or man of the cloth, clergy of some sort, next to me who just finished his freedom search. And I pointed it out to him, and I said, will you take care of this? And I ran away, because I was like, you know, he'll probably be compassionate instead of like, you know, letting the goons just play, you know, hacky sack with the little woman or something.
So you handed the tiny woman to the priest.
I didn't touch the tiny woman. I don't want it.
You pointed.
I didn't touch her at all. Yeah, I didn't touch her, officer. Officer TSA.
Good. I'm glad.
So I just ran out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. You passed the buck, but at least you did something.
Yeah. If you see something, say something, but hopefully to a priest or a man of the cloth, a clergy, not the government.
Yeah. 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 If you see something, say something, unless it's war crimes, because then you'll go to jail.
Yep. So, you know, Hank Williams III was supposed to do an interview with us a few weeks ago. And we have a lot of cool interviews with a lot of cool Liberty people and music people. And, you know, we're having one coming up with the bass player in Nirvana on December 21st. But Hank III flaked, man. He just didn't show up. He just like slept through it in a hotel room under a pile of women and whiskey bottles or something. And but
I can't say I blame him.
Yeah, but
yeah,
it was, you know, I was kind of upset about it. I was a little more upset because I just got in the mail. He just sent me like the punk rock country equivalent of an 8x10 signed glossy, which is what they used to send fans or whatever. I'm a fan, but I'm the guy supposed to be interviewing him, and he didn't.
Did he send you like a bounty poster with his picture on it and a $200 reward?
No, that'd be kind of funny. Nope. It was actually like his logo, which is a skull with a 3 under it and a cowboy hat, and then his signature. But the whole thing was Xeroxed. It wasn't even like a photographic print. And I think that the signature was Xeroxed. And I really think that like he's gonna have to do some time in purgatory for doing that to the fiends. I'm not the judge of that. I don't know. But I had another dream.
What would his purgatory look like?
It would look like he'd have to be in the front row of a 27-hour Rascal Flatts concert at Disney Country Bear Jamboree.
Wow. You think it's that heinous? Was it that egregious of a crime to where he has to go listen to Rascal Flatts?
Not until he sent me nothing by the way of an explanation, but just here's a piece of paper that I send
to
everybody.
Maybe you're not decoding it right. Maybe there's some kind of secret message and you have to get the UPC from the cereal box and send in for the Hank 3 decoder.
Yeah. So we don't like government tyranny, regardless of who it's pointed at. And we don't smoke pot. We don't smoke pot, but we believe people should be able to grow pot and sell it and engage in an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. And there's little cracks going in the government's fascistic veneer, literally, although it's becoming actually like less criminal and more fascist, because what is the definition of fascism, Nima?
Well, fascism is an economic system where the state and the corporate interests collude to basically plan the economy, and the state protects the corporations and the corporations protect the state, and it's basically what we have today.
Yeah, and for decades, marijuana enthusiasts have been crying for the government to please decriminalize, regulate, and tax marijuana. And what do you say about taxation and regulation, Nemo?
Well, this is what they get. And there's a lot of people in the comments on this recent story, which we will get to, saying, well, this is what we need. We need to be above board. How can you expect to have above board without all these regulations? And we're glad that these raids happened. But here's what's going to happen.
These raids happened?
The commenters. Well, actually, people that were quoted in the story. And we'll get to that in a minute. But whenever you have the state and people give the state the legitimacy to do things like license, then you're giving the state the legitimacy to do things like raid places and go in with masks on because they are because they're scared. They're scared of people finding out who they are. Yeah. They're ashamed.
These cops in this picture, they're like murderous. They look like the murderous drug cartels in Mexico. They have assault rifles, and they have masks, and they're all gooned out. The only difference is that the cartels in Mexico are better armed.
Right. And of course, I guess we got to get to it now, but we're talking about in Denver, the biggest pot raids ever in the history of Denver since they had medical marijuana went down recently. And they hit over a dozen different places in Denver alone. And I guess they hit some places outside of Denver too. Made no arrests. I think that's very noteworthy.
They just robbed
them.
They
didn't arrest anybody.
It was just a bunch of armed thugs with, you know, bandanas over their faces, with balaclavas on their faces, terrorists style, robbing some honest businessmen, small business owners. And this is interesting. Like, they didn't arrest anybody, but they had warrants for certain companies. And one of the companies, it was a grow operation, like a co-op, where a bunch of people, you know, paid for space in a warehouse that had a lot of electricity and, you know, you could plug lights in and whatever, and it was, and it had security.
Yeah, you share. It's co-opetition. Yeah. That happens all the time in business.
Yeah, you know, like some in L.A., real estate is such a high rate that a lot of times you'll have, like, a garage where you go to get your car fixed, and there'll be like six different one-man shops in one warehouse. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they took everybody's pot, not just the people they had the warrants for. So, you know, there's your regulation working out for you. And the reason they did that is because it's in the federal law that if they see pot, they have to if you see pot, take pot. That's the law.
If you see pot, take pot. Yeah, that's exactly it. But yeah, and people in the industry are calling for this. And this is a great example. A lot of times people of the leftist persuasion will say, well, businesses, corporations, they need to be regulated and they won't like that. And you libertarians are just on their side. But no, here's a great example. Andy Williams, owner of Medicine Man Dispensary in Denver and board member with the Medical Marijuana Industry Group. He's an insider, right? He says he welcomed the raids on businesses, quote, breaking the rules, and doubts the federal government would target businesses indiscriminately. Oh, ye of little faith. He says, quote, I want the bad actors gone, quite honestly. So here's a guy in the industry who's praising the feds for basically stealing the inventory of his competition.
I'm not going to say who it is because it's like the worst thing you could probably say about a pot dispensary owner in Colorado. It would harm him. But I know for a fact that one of the owners of one of the larger places down there that is engaged in legal business, the guy's a Republican, and he is. He told me he loves capitalism. And isn't that weird that like saying you love capitalism while running a business would be like bad business for you, for your clients to hear it? That's because politicians love to divide and conquer. You know, we did an interview with the guy who Mr. Head, Victor Head, the guy who ran the recall, successfully ran a voting recall on the gun-grabbing leftist politicians that wanted to take everyone's guns, or actually passed gun laws that are still enacted, but they took the people out. They said no more careerist criminal under the guise of government service for you, and they threw them out. We interviewed that guy, and you know, we said, how do you feel about the medical marijuana thing and the legalization of pot in Colorado? And he's like, you know, I don't smoke it, but I personally, I don't have any problem with it. But the problem with it I have is that the politicians are using it as a wedge issue against guns. Now, why that? That's like so weird. It's like saying, well, if you have sparrows, you can't have brick houses or something. It's it doesn't make sense, man.
Right. Well, to people who are fiends or to people who actually understand the left-right paradigm for what it really is and don't buy it as an actual thing based in reality, it doesn't make sense at all, because you have this weird amalgamation of things that people are for on the left or for Democrats, and the same thing on the right, things that don't seem connected at all, because to us the real conflict is between political power and market forces. And everywhere and anywhere that you have people in government, whether they call themselves Republicans or Democrats, all they're trying to do is push the power of the political process and make it supersede the voluntary cooperation of the market.
Yeah, and I think that the only silver lining that might come of all this is some of these people who are like, oh, praise Obama, he's going to give me free health care, who are also marijuana enthusiasts in Colorado, might have a little less faith in the power of top men to tell you what to do ethically.
Yes, that's the red-haired lining of this whole thing. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this trip to the voluntary market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is some Squisscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. My name is Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the wilds of Wyoming. I think we have Michael on with us. I'll give him a quick shout out. Are you there, Michael? Okay, he has taken a little leave of absence. I'm sure he'll be back very soon. But we wanted to go into a new topic here. Meg Lanker Simmons. I think when we first became aware of her, it was just Meg Lanker. I think she added the Simmons. I'm not 100% sure.
I think
sure.
She got married.
Is that what happened? Yeah, I think it's a hyphen.
Because her husband defends her in this thing we're talking about.
Ah, I see. Of course. I first became aware of her. I was actually a reporter in Wyoming at the time, not down in Laramie because there's no station in Laramie. There are stations in Cheyenne, though, so I guess that's their territory. And we did have a bureau there, but I didn't work it. William Ayers was supposed to speak. He was going to give a speech at University of Wyoming in Laramie, and Meg Lanker was one of the biggest proponents of this. And there were a lot of right-wingers who hated the thought that William Ayers was going to go and get a fee to speak there. And I think in the end what happened was the university didn't pay him the fee, but people like Meg Lanker rounded up donations for him, and they still let him speak.
Well, to give a little backstory, William Ayers, for people who don't know, was a member of the Weather Underground, a radical 60s Marxist group. But they were mainly anti-war. That was the main thing that they were demonstrating. But they were blowing up government buildings. And I think some people died, but not from the ones that William Ayers blew up. And he's now a college professor, you know, with taxpayer money, tenure in Chicago. And apparently,
who somehow has the hypocrisy of being a proponent, calling himself a proponent of social justice.
Yeah.
As he socially justifies
Well, I mean, social justice is taking money by force. It's just doing it through the government. You know, he realized that he couldn't bomb his way to equality, so he got involved in influencing the minds that will work in government.
But I think it was Walter Williams, who's a good college professor, who says, my definition of social justice is I keep what I earn, you keep what you earn.
Yeah.
And if you think that that's not right, tell me how much I owe you and why.
Yeah, and he doesn't say, and then I'll give it to you. He just says, tell me how.
Right.
Yeah. So William Ayers allegedly knew Obama back in the day and was stumping for Obama, saying great things about him to help him get elected. Once Obama was elected, he kind of threw this guy under the bus because all this stuff came out about his past and Republicans made a big stink out of it. And at some airport, some right-wing blogger went up to William Ayers and said something about Obama's book, Dreams of My Father or Audacity of Hope or whatever. And William Ayers said to this woman, yeah, I wrote that book. I was paid to write that book. They didn't put my name on it. I wrote Obama's book. And she's like, well, maybe you heavily edited it or something. But he's like, no, I wrote it for Obama. And I'm really mad because I didn't get credit. He later said he was just messing with her. But it became a big story. Who knows? Whatever. And who knows whether he was close with Obama or not. But Obama did surround himself with, you know, Marxists and revolutionaries and social justice and work within the system and work without the system people. And that's neither here nor there. The thing is, William Ayers wanted to come speak. And I admit that I was guilty of being one of the ones who said, I don't think that guy should. I did a blog post somewhere of like, I don't think that guy should even speak on private property in this state. And that is so ridiculous because I was kind of like, you know, transitioning from like not politically aware to full on libertarian. And
you
like,
were still in your Glenn Beck.
There was like 2 weeks where I was watching Glenn Beck and I was just buying the crap he was saying. And the thing that you got to realize is free speech is for everybody. It's not just for people you agree with. You know, I think William Ayers is a skunk. I think he was a violent person in his past. I think he supports a government that wants to point guns at people and steal from people to give to other people. He's also anti-war, and we're anti-war here on the Freedom Fiends. We're pro-gun, unlike Mr. Ayers, but at least now. He probably had a gun back in the day. But
People complain about things like dangerous ideas and the contagion, and this was kind of the whole concept behind the Red Scare, which is kind of a pseudo-William Ayers thing, because people were worried about the things he was going to say.
Yeah.
But you don't fight speech with guns. They say you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Well, you don't bring guns to an info war and a war of ideas. You bring other ideas, and the superior ones will win, and people get to decide where in their brains. So if you don't like what William Ayer says, say why he's wrong.
Yeah.
And if you're right, people will see that you're right and he's wrong.
Yeah, and me writing a blog post that basically said, I don't want him speaking in my state, is ridiculous. And yeah, I've grown enough since then that I can admit how ridiculous that was.
Because you're not a politician and you can do that. I can actually grow.
I'd love him to come speak, and I'd love to go stand in the audience and ask him questions like, you know, why were you a baby killer trying to fight baby killers? You know, he could have killed babies. He's blowing up buildings. You don't know if there's someone in there after
hours. It's indiscriminate.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And it's collective punishment, and it's wrong. And we'll talk about what's right and more things about what's wrong when we get back from this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Okay, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati out here in the Texas Hill Country where it's cold and rainy. I'm not happy about that. I'm used to it being sunny and sitting on my grassy knoll. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in the wilds of Wyoming, though. He's in the Wormabago out near Devil's Tower or the coal mines in Douglas or something. Where you at, man?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in an undisclosed location, man. But I already said it early in the show. So, you know, people that really want to come out and have some coffee with us in the Wormabago can come on out here.
Excellent.
I'm at Devil's Tower. Devil's Tower today.
And so we were talking about Meg Lanker Simmons. Now, tell us why she's relevant. It blew my mind that
you're like,
she
why
was
is
relevant.
She? I don't
when,
know.
When the William Ayers thing was going on, I mean, I thought people always protested everything. You know, anything and everything that can be protested on a college campus will be by somebody.
And you'll get,
so why did
and
she
you'll
get
some college,
shine
you'll
for
get
it?
College credit for it, probably.
You'll get college credit, yeah.
She's known because she wants to be known and she wants the world to be her megaphone and spread what I would consider our bad ideas of social justice. But here's what she did. She wasn't getting enough attention, or, you know, maybe her daddy didn't love her enough, or maybe her daddy loved her a little too much or something. And she was feeling, you know, not appreciated one day. And she went on Facebook and created a sock puppet account, which is where you pretend to be someone else to either agree with you or so you can argue with yourself. You know, that seems kind of schizophrenic to me. But she went on Facebook, according to the Prairie Pravda, which is what we call the local paper here, that can't be named because, I don't know, they might sue you if you quote one of their articles because they have a paywall, which is ridiculous that their paywall costs the same as the New York Times paywall. And the New York Times stopped using a paywall because it was failing. And, you know, you get more advertising by giving it away and putting advertising on it than you do by charging.
Then more people will get to see the advertising, right?
So according to the Prairie Pravda, which is what we call the leftist newspaper or two or three in this city, state, county, whatever, Meg Lanker Simpsons went on Facebook. I guess it's not allegedly because she's been charged with doing this. So, you know, the courts have decided.
No, charge is still alleged.
But hasn't she been found guilty? Is it civil? I don't even know what it is. But she went on Facebook and posted a rape threat at herself as another person. It basically, and it had a political angle to it. She basically said that she wanted to, this person that was really the other side of her brain, the other lobe of her brain, wanted to hate, let's say rape. I can't say the word on the air, but wanted to hate rape her until she became a good Republican. That's what she posted. And then she immediately went on the defense. She got all these people at Laramie College and around the world to join her cause of, look at me, I'm a victim. I'm so important that someone is, I don't know, so something that somebody is threatening me with rape and trying to make me into
she
a good Republican.
She sounds like a sociopath, man. I mean, she has no regard for morality or ethics at all when it comes to this. Because here's the thing, rape culture is an actual thing, and I think it's a serious thing. And rape is obviously horrible. It's universally seen as horrible. And she is using that as a tool to make herself have more relevancy or more relevance.
It also, it also would make the next – when the next time when a woman is actually raped in Laramie or on that campus – people are going to be suspect, especially if it's anybody who's ever known Meg Lanker, and she's made it the point of knowing everyone there. So this woman has tainted, good, honest women in that town from being able to report an actual rape. And that's the town where the Matthew Shepard thing happened, where the gay kid was supposedly beat. He was killed. But there's actually someone who said that they were his gay lover at the time, and it wasn't a gay bashing. It was a drug deal gone bad, and there was that the guy was a drug dealer, which is another – I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a drug person, but since it's illegal, it opens you up to violence. So it's a very charged topic, sexual politics and aggression because of sex in Laramie. To the point where, I think that Hollywood tried to punish Wyoming by making that gay cowboy movie take place in Wyoming, to say, see, you're all a bunch of, all a bunch of gay cowboys eating pudding. And
eating pudding.
That's a South Park reference. But
right.
All of that aside, this woman, and you didn't say she is a sociopath. You're not a psychiatrist. How much psychiatric training did you get there at the Austin School of Journalism? Yeah.
None.
So you said she sounds like one, though, too. And she does seem to have the indicators of what people would say is mental illness of crying for help when things didn't happen, false crimes being reported. But then not only
it gets way worse.
She organized a rally rape culture must be stopped, and had people holding up signs and people rallying behind her and saying, look at this poor victim of this Republican rape mentality. And then it got outed. It got outed as the police figured out it was her. She used her own computer, which is pretty damn stupid. I mean, you could use a VPN. Mm. You could go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You could jump a few hops on the internet. But
she's at a university. She'd go to the computer lab.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But she did it from her bedroom because she was just feeling unloved and, daddy doesn't love me or something, and just wanted to take it out on men, take it out on the world. And but she got busted. Then there's another article about how the police caught her. The article is called CSI Laramie, which is pretty funny. But it goes further. Not just that she's done that. Like, look what Meg Lanker's done to you today. But tell a little bit about her past. And you said you'd never worked at a station in Cheyenne, but maybe you're lucky because it sounds like it could be a dangerous thing with Meg Lanker around.
Yeah, this is awful. And this is coming from a paper in Laramie, the local paper there, reporting on this. Whoever was in charge of reporting on this actually did a good job. They did some digging and found some court records from November 2005. Lanker Simmons, who was then Megan Michelina, pleaded guilty to the charge. And here's what happened. According to the affidavit, it was an incident where Lanker Simmons walked into an Albany County radio station
where she'd been fired.
She'd been fired.
Disgruntled worker taking a gun in anger to her workplace.
Yeah, it was a Glock 22, which is the 40 caliber Glock.
I carry the smaller one of that, and I'm a man. I'm not being sexist, but I'm saying that's a big gun. That's a cop gun. Maybe she's compensating for something, as the liberals like to say.
Maybe. But she confronted the guy who decided to fire her. According to the affidavit, she then pulled the semi-automatic pistol from her purse, waved it around, and then pointed it at the guy who fired her. The station was evacuated, the affidavit said. So she had one of these situations that, you would think CNN and the national news would be all over, workplace evacuated after armed crazy in 2005. She was charged in 2005. It might have been before that the event actually happened. I don't see the month or the date of when the the evacuation was, although I assume it would be just a little bit before that. But this is something you would think. Somebody goes into their workplace, points their gun at their boss who fired them. That should be more, or at least in our current system, you'd think that'd be more than a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of stuff that people, if they're not of a politically favored class in their area, they could get life in prison without parole for something like
yeah,
this,
she
like
seems,
we talked about in the last episode.
That's she's into social justice. To her, it's like you don't get your way, you go threaten people with a gun. She's moved to Washington State, and she's going to go to law school. And I wouldn't be surprised if she ends up being a Supreme Court justice, because she seems to have what it would take to become one.
Maybe. Yeah. Using a gun to get her way and crying about it.
Social
and
justice.
Using lies in the mass media to get her way and lying about it.
I don't know if she could become an attorney, though, because the bar for becoming an attorney with most state bars is higher than becoming a politician. Like, both of these things, the gun threatening and the fake rape charge call rally, would probably get you disbarred in most states. I don't know if they'd prevent you, but they probably most in many states would prevent you. But you know, I think it. Yeah, I don't think there's a requirement that you're an attorney to become a Supreme Court justice. You could be appointed. I don't think there's ever been one who hasn't been, but I think you could be. I mean, there have been some that haven't been practicing attorneys. Kagan, one of the women that was appointed by Obama, never practiced as an attorney. She was a didn't she teach at Laramie? No, I don't know. She taught someone.
Well, here's the thing: is since it's up to the president to appoint and the Senate to confirm, all the requirement is that those two groups of people, the Senate and the presidency, have to feel like it. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the only real requirement, right?
You know, there's a really, really lefty guy who's not stupid. He's really smart, and he used to be a friend of mine. He's still a friend of mine. He used to play in a band with me. This guy named Michael Barabé, who is a college professor at Penn State, tenured college professor. And he's actually the department he's in is named after that guy that was fired for sexual misconduct. What's his name? You know, the coach.
Anthony Weiner?
No, the coach at Penn State who was fired.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot. I know what you're talking about, though.
The department, it's probably been renamed since then, but Barabé, you know, he holds the chair at the university that's named after that guy. But Barabé used to be
Joe Paterno.
Yeah,
I just Googled.
Yeah, Barabé was the chair of the Paterno English division there, which I don't know what that is. Is that like the Clintonese? But Barabé is a good guy. He used to play drums in my band Baby Opaque in 1983 and 1984 and 1985. We put out a couple records in Virginia back in the day, but you know, we kept in touch to some extent. He's actually in that list of books written by that horribly creepy right-wing anti-Muslim Zionist. What's his name? He does Front Page Magazine. Front Page Magazine. But anyway, the guy wrote, David Horowitz, he wrote a book called The Academics, The 101 Professors That Are Destroying America. Barabé is one of those professors, and another one of those professors is in my Hubert Selby movie, because he knew Selby and he used to do drugs with him back in the 60s. And you know, you don't put someone in a movie just because you can't. He's the only guy that used to shoot heroin with Cubby back in the heroin jazz days in the mid 60s, so okay, he had to be in the movie. Okay. But yeah, Barabé once said something to me that I really liked. He said, there's two types of bullies. There's the kind of bully that punches you and then takes your lunch money. And then there's the kind of bully that knocks, when waits till you walk by, throws their own milk on the floor, and then says you punched them and sues you for your lunch money. It's like Meg Lanker seems to be of the latter variety of bully to me.
Yeah, yeah. But a bully nonetheless, just a little bit more sophistry in her bullying tactics. I mean, it's good to see her being called out on it, though. I mean, I guess that's why she's noteworthy, is people are making an example of her, saying, hey, man, this is not the way to operate. This is not the way to get attention in the world. And hopefully, hopefully this follows her for a long, long time and she doesn't get appointed to the Supreme Court. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a little bit.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
Yeah, guys, the Freedom Fiends Live Talker Radio Show. I am Nima Vidati out here in Central Texas. We've got Michael W. Dean driving around in the Winnebago.
Wormabago.
The
Wormabago.
Sorry, it's a custom Winnebago called the Wormabago. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
I'm good, and I want to talk about an example of government stupidity, because, you know, and it's a blast from the past. It's from the Cold War, and people get caught up in what Obama's done to you today, which we haven't even we talk about so often. We actually wrote a jingle for it, which someone described as a treason jingle because they say you should respect the office of the president, and we don't. Yeah. We don't, man, because it's always filled with a baby killing tyrant. Yeah. So we don't want to just talk about what Obama's done to you today. We want to talk about other people in that office have done previously. And we discovered this awesomely insane thing called Operation Paul Bunyan. Talk about that, Nima.
Yeah. So if you go to the Wikipedia entry for axe murder incident, that was the killing of two U.S. Army officers by North Korean soldiers back in 1976 in the what they called the Joint Security Area, the JSA, in the Korean DMZ, which is the demilitarized zone, the zone in between the North and South that is apparently supposed to be demilitarized.
That's funny because it's very militarized. Militarized zone in the world, or continuously militarized zone in the world.
Yeah.
There's government speak.
But these two U.S. officers were there because they were part of a work party to cut down a tree in that, quote, joint security area. And so 3 days later, after these soldiers had been killed because they were trying to cut down a tree, the U.S. and South Korea launched an operation, Operation Paul Bunyan, which combined a return to cut down the tree with a show of force to intimidate North Korea into backing down.
A show of force to cut down a tree. How many people were involved in Operation Paul Bunyan?
Let's see. it was also called the tree trimming incident. Trying to look for.
I can find that. It's on a different article. But yeah, this was under President Ford, wasn't it? I was 12 years old. I actually wrote a letter to President Ford when I was 12 years old. And it was the first time I ever got politically active. A family member of mine who was a decent human being had been arrested for having a little bit of marijuana in her van. And the police rousted her and kind of ruined her life for a little while. And I didn't smoke pot yet, but I thought that was horrible. And I wrote a letter to President Ford telling him he should legalize marijuana. I'm sure that got me on a list, much younger than most people get on a list. But
there you go. That's your claim to fame. Your list is a feather. Your listing is a feather in your cap. I don't see a death toll here, but I do see.
No, the operation involved 813 men to cut down this tree. The equipment they sent for the task included an armed platoon, 27 helicopters, flyovers by some B-52 bombers, and a bunch of martial arts experts, presumably just to make cool poses with their backs turned to the explosions, according to this article I'm reading.
Oh man, I can't tell if this is a Wu-Tang album or a South Park episode.
Yeah, but it's real. It really happened.
That's mind-blowing. Over the cutting down of a tree. Yeah. This is what the state does. It throws immense resources and people's lives.
People died cutting down this tree.
Yeah. Cutting down a tree. Now, how many people have died in the market? I guess a fair amount, because you know logging is one of the more dangerous occupations. You know, but
police always, and we're not anti-cop. We're just anti-police brutality. We want to say, you know, they're not all bad. Like, you know, just what is it, like 91% of them? That's what someone from NWA said. But no, and I say to any cops who aren't bad people, prove us wrong, man, and hold your cop brothers accountable. I know there's that thin blue line of silence where even if they murder somebody, you're not supposed to tell anybody, but hold them accountable, man. Be a good cop. Be someone who's out to protect and to serve. You know, people say we need less Barneys and more, what is it?
Andys.
Yeah, more Andys and less Barneys. But Barney wasn't evil. He was just incompetent. We need more Mayberry and less Fallujah. And we'll talk more about this when we get back in the second hour of the Freedom Fiends. I guess what I was going to say is that, worms.
You're going to say yeah. You're going to say yeah and worms.
I was
going to
say yeah and worms.
You forgot to say the worms. Okay. Because you don't think you have to anymore. You're in the Wormabago. It's printed all over the side of your current location.
Yeah, it's wrapped.
Which the NSA is tracking in real time via the satellite dish on the top.
They don't need to cut down a tree anymore.
No. They go straight to the source. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati out here in the Texas Hill Country. We got Michael W. Dean and his Wormabago driving across the Badlands in Wyoming. How's it going, sir?
It's good. It's good. I'm up here in Devil's Tower in the parking lot. So if you're up here today while we're live from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wyoming time, you can stop in for some coffee and maybe sit in and chat on the air a little bit. We are going to give out the call-in number. You got the call-in number there, Nima?
Oh, somewhere. It's on a notepad here. Let's see. GCN call-in line. Yeah, if you want to call us, dial 1-855-660-4261. I'll say it one more time, about the same speed. 1-855-660-4261. Call us. Let us know how you feel. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know what you think about Meg Lanker Simmons. Let us know what you think about Operation Paul Bunyan. And
or call in if you are Meg Lanker Simmons. We'd love to.
Oh, yes. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. We don't fear you, Meg Lanker Simmons.
That's the thing you want to say to somebody who displays that kind of tendencies. They'll be like, I'll make you. I don't know. Just based on people she reminds me of that I've known in the past, they're like, you know, that's a good way to have someone say, I'll make you fear me.
Yeah. Okay.
You will know the mighty power of my sock puppet as it hits you in the face.
So we wanted to go in a different direction for hour two, a little bit of redemption. We're going to talk about some we used to have a bump we played called Freedom Fix. And, you know, so often, we and our brethren, a lot of our brethren in talk radio, will talk a lot about the tyranny plaguing our society, the horrors of the modern state and so on and so forth. But there's help on the way. There's a lot of good things going on in liberty and good things going on in general in the world that will be a boon for liberty now and in the future. And one of those great things is Bitcoin, and more, it's more so than just the monetary aspects of it. But there's a lot of societal impacts that can take place due to the way Bitcoin works. Isn't that right, Michael?
Yeah, and I want to explain what Bitcoin is because not everybody knows what it is. And I really would say that because it's kind of an advanced computer thing that has come out recently. You know, the internet has gone through a bunch of stages. Like from 1979 to 1993, it involved giant rooms full of equipment and leased phone lines, and you needed a mathematics degree to use it. And there wasn't any graphic interface, and basically only the government and advanced academics were using the internet. But in 1993, something called the World Wide Web was invented, which enabled – and at first it was harder to use too. It wasn't that easy to use. And I was on it in 1991 using a protocol called Gopher. I was on the internet. But that was just text-based. And then in 1993, the web happened. And in 1994, I got on the web. And by about 1996, you know, Time magazine was saying the web will run everything. Who will build the roads? The internet. If the government is put in charge of it, you know, and they say the government invented the internet, and it's that is such a specious, like they had something to do with it. It would have happened anyway. They got in the way. It would have happened faster, quicker, better without the government.
Right. But, well, I love how Ben Stone points this out, that a lot of the companies that were involved in this kind of computer technology in the early days, they were like how we think of Lockheed Martin today. You know, their big bread and butter was government military contracts for the defense industry, places like IBM. Imagine if those resources and that know-how was released to the purposes of pleasing the consumer market. I think you would have had things like graphic user interfaces, mice, and the World Wide Web a lot sooner than the opportunity costs that were foregone to do things like target little babies with Agent Orange and things like that.
Yeah, when people say, without the government, who would build the roads? And I say, kind of half-jokingly, but kind of half-seriously, without the government, you wouldn't need roads because we'd all be driving rocket cars. You know, we were promised rocket cars. I was when I was a kid.
Was there an actual explicit promise? I think it was implicit, but everybody always says that, you know. Well, there were rocket cars.
There was that cartoon,
the Jetsons,
everybody drove a rocket car to work. But no, it was also like, you know, the World's Fair talked about the rocket car. Lockheed Martin probably said, you'll get a rocket car in every garage if you vote for us. And you vote for Lockheed Martin and people like that from the military industrial complex, no matter who you vote for, unless it's Ron Paul. And they realized that and they got him out of there. But we still didn't say what Bitcoin is.
Yeah.
Bitcoin is a decentralized, pseudo-anonymous cryptocurrency. It is a fiat currency in a way because it's not backed by stuff like gold, but it is, and gold is great. We think you should go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources link and go to gold. But there are other things in this world. You don't have to put everything in gold. I wouldn't put everything in Bitcoin, although we have a friend who invested, you know, probably $2,000 or $3,000 in Bitcoin. I'm not going to say who it is. When Bitcoin first came out a few years ago, and it's now, his Bitcoin is now worth, it's two guys, their Bitcoin is now worth about $500,000. Mm. Although I think they've been spending their Bitcoin too, because the thing is, you don't want to hoard something like this. You want to use it as a new economy. And Bitcoin,
right,
it isn't fully a fiat currency because it is representative of work, because it takes a lot of computing power and energy to produce it, to the point where people who are making Bitcoin, running Bitcoin mining rigs, like, they've actually had their door kicked in because their electric bill went up so high that the police thought they were growing pot. And in Canada, that happened. And then the police didn't find any pot, did not arrest them, but then sent them a bill for the raid. Like, it's their problem that the police are too stupid.
Ugh.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's important because I think a lot of people get scared at Bitcoin and they don't understand. They don't know what it is. They think it's just something somebody made up, like bucks that you purchase for your Facebook apps.
Yeah.
You know, it's just some virtual currency based on nothing. That's not the case. You're right. It does take work.
Bitcoin
is actually – it's like a long crypto chain, right, or
yeah,
a blockchain. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's an actual thing. It doesn't exist in the physical world, but it is scarce in the digital world.
Yeah, and when Bitcoin first came out, it cost about 10 cents. People were selling a Bitcoin for 10 cents, and now a Bitcoin is worth about $900. And somebody recently said, Max, who's that economist? Max somebody.
Max Kaiser.
Max Kaiser said that when Bitcoin was 10 cents a unit per coin, you couldn't give it away. When it hits $10,000, people are going to be falling over themselves to get it. And they're already falling over themselves to get it at $1,000. And this is not a pitch to buy Bitcoin. You know, I'm not saying go out and buy it today. Certainly, if you buy it, you should buy a little bit just to enjoy it and be part of the game. Kind of like people who, you know, they'll own a couple shares of stock in something just to feel like they're playing the stock market, because it's really too late probably to get in as an investment. But actually, Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live says he thinks it's going to hit $1 million, because literally this thing could replace the need for government controlled currency. That's one of the many things it could do. You know, where the name of this episode is Who Would Build the Roads? Bitcoin. And we're not saying Bitcoin alone, but cryptocurrencies, bit torrenting, virtual private networks, encryption. There's so many things that you can do with the internet that basically bypass the need for governments to have monopolies on things. And yes, governments are really threatened by this. Recently, the U.S. Congress had a subcommittee meeting about Bitcoin, and they decided to not do anything about it yet, which was a sigh of relief for many people in the Bitcoin community. But as a friend of ours tweeted, what it basically comes down to is they can't do anything about it, so they mm-hmm. pretend to be on board with it. It's that thing of, like,
right,
you know,
right,
Reagan didn't tear down the wall. Bruce Springsteen did. Reagan just got in front of the parade and said he did. Politicians love to do that.
Well, it's like if you're a parent to a teenager and they're going out and doing something that you don't like, but you know you don't have the power to stop them. So you're going to pretend like you're accepting it. You're going to give some kind of tacit approval so that you're not hurting your authority or supposed authority. I think there's an element of that to the regulators saying, yeah, sure, I guess.
Yeah, and there's –
because they know – because that's the whole point of Bitcoin, and that's why Bitcoin is successful. That's why it's valued. That's why people like it. That's why people use it and trade it, is because it is – it completely removes the political process from economic exchange via Bitcoin, which is what people have been wanting for so long. And you know, this is why we can't understand people like that Glenn Beck stooge saying that Bitcoin's dangerous. And it's also why I can't understand things like in the Washington Post's Wonk blog, Neil Irwin writing an article or an op-ed saying that Bitcoin needs a central banker. First of all, you couldn't do that to Bitcoin. I don't think you could. At least I can't think of a way. And
they could regulate it. They could outlaw it, but they can't stop it. I mean, it's basically like crack? You know, has the war on drugs stopped crack? And it's not dangerous like crack. And one of the main complaints about Bitcoin of why people say it needs regulation is they say, well, it could be used to fund terrorism, or people are getting ripped off in Bitcoin scams, or it could be used to buy illegal things. But if that was true, you should outlaw paper money, because paper money is used for all those things.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, regulation doesn't ever really fix the problems people say it's supposed to fix. You know, Bitcoin is dangerous. I think it's dangerous to the established interest. It's dangerous to the status quo. And so I guess it does make sense that people are calling for things like a central banker, because they want to make it lose steam. They know if Bitcoin had something like this, if it was regulated, that it would lessen the appeal of Bitcoin. But I think they would fail in any attempt to do something. I mean, I guess at this point what they could do is put restrictions and barriers to changing Bitcoin to paper currency.
They're working on that. Actually, New York State has done that, and the feds are working on that. But all that's going to do is make people use Bitcoin to Bitcoin and never cash it into money.
Exactly.
And it will it'll make the money they're trying to protect their monopoly on money. Outlawing Bitcoin or heavily regulating it is going to make less people want to use their money. And literally, cryptocurrencies could replace fiat money to where nobody needs the government for money, you know, and that's a big way. The government controls your money. They're trying to control your food supply. They're dosing you with fluoride in your water. And whenever you complain about the fluoride in the water, people say, oh, you're crazy and you're a conspiracy person. But basically what it comes down to, regardless of what claims are made about it or how harmful it is about, it's medicating you without permission.
You don't get a choice.
It's medicating you without consent, which is a violation of the Hippocratic Oath. No doctor would do that. And that's what, you know, your city council is doing. City councils have so much control over people. In Casper, you know, two towns over, they just took three houses from people to expand the high school, the government indoctrination center, when you don't even need schools anymore, when you have things like Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and encryption. It'll be all replaced by the internet, and the government can't get out of the way because they're in the way, because we don't need them.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's BolaVPN at BolehVPN.net.
All right, everybody, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm here in Central Texas, and yes, I live on a road, I guess you could call it. Michael Dean, you are actually on the road in your Wormabago. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and we're talking today about Bitcoin, which is, other than guns, Bitcoin is the only thing that's legal, that the more the government hates it, the more it sells and the more it's worth.
That's legal, yeah. When you first said that, I was like, but what about drugs? And you're like, they're illegal, dude. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I get it. But yeah, I had a fuzzy thought in my brain this morning as I was wiping the sleep out of my eyes, because we were talking yesterday about how Bitcoins can save the world and who would build the roads? Well, Bitcoin. And, you know, there's actually something to that, I think. And I think one of the beautiful things about Bitcoin is it's so much more divisible. You know, that was one of the things that the old classical Greeks said about what made good money. It had to be divisible, easily dividable. And Bitcoin is the most easily dividable, I think, of any currency that has gained popularity or favor in the broad economy, in the global economy, because you could put as many zeros after, you know, to the right side of that decimal point.
It's about to like a millionth of a Bitcoin, I think, or maybe
a tenth.
That's way more
than a penny is to a dollar.
One of the things Ron Paul said when people criticized him for wanting to have a gold standard was, you know, people said there's not enough gold in the world to back all of the exchanges that people have with each other. And Ron Paul said, yeah, there is. The price of gold just goes up. But if that happened, and we love gold and we think people should buy it and they should go to Midas Resources to buy it. But, you know, there's not one solution to everything. And it's like, you know, if you don't own just one gun or one pair of boots, you need different things for different jobs. And Bitcoin has usefulnesses that aren't necessarily in gold. And one is the divisibility to what would be the atomic level in gold, you know.
Right.
If Bitcoin and gold both went up to $1 million, if an ounce of gold was $1 million current dollars and Bitcoin was $1 million current dollars, it'd be really hard to pay someone a dollar in gold because it would be a microscopic amount. But with Bitcoin, it's no problem.
I suppose you could have it, but you wouldn't be able to take it physically, which is what people want to do so often with gold, is have it in their possession.
Yeah.
You know, Bitcoin, you can still have a physical claim to it that's out there that people know about, that you have proof of. You know, what would in the sense be the corollary to physically having the gold? You could physically have that portion of the Bitcoin, at least proof of your ownership of it, down to, you know, so many decimal points. And I think that this has lots of different ways of being useful, especially with things like roads, because companies could build a 0.00000000 surcharge, something that you wouldn't even think twice about, into the cost or you know, that many bitcoins into the cost of their products if they use roads a lot, you know. And maybe they'd make you aware of it, and some companies would do it and some companies wouldn't. That's one of the beautiful things about the market, and one of the beautiful things that Bitcoin can allow is there doesn't have to be one standard. But I think that opportunity, you know, part of the plot of Office Space, and apparently in Office Space they say Superman 3, was their scam to bilk the company out of money by taking, you know, much less than a penny out of every transaction, and this would make them millionaires somehow or something silly like that.
We're gonna go to the phones though. We have a caller who's been on hold for a while.
All right.
Let's go to the phones here. We've got Republican Rick from Detroit, Michigan. Are you there, Rick?
Yeah, I'm here. I see you boys are still trying to destroy the country, and now you're trying to destroy the money, too, you and your Bitcoin.
What do you think would be a better way to barter for goods or trade value for goods and services, Republican Rick?
Well, as you know, I am a constitutionalist, and the Constitution says that the Congress has the power to coin and mint money.
They also say it also. The Constitution also says they have the power to take your house for whatever they want. How do you feel about that?
Well, if your magic piece of paper says you can do that, then have at it. It's in the Constitution.
Do you spend a lot of time on the internet, or are you recently new to the internet, Rick?
Well, I do have to confess that I've only been on there for a little while, but I no longer type up all my emails in all caps. I've gotten away from that.
Do you print out all your emails so you can read them better?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I heard an ad on the radio the other day that you might be interested in. It's an organization called Everyone On, and I heard it on the radio, which is Ben Stone calls radio Grandpa's Internet, but we love the radio. But I heard an ad for something called everyoneon.org or .com. I think it was .com. They probably own all the domains. I think it's a government program. I couldn't tell, but the ad was basically a guy, like it was a woman teaching an adult man to use the internet. And he was like, ugh, sounds good to me. I think that might have been Republican Rick. Thank you for your call, Rick. And we'll be back with more after this trip to the market for people who know how to use the internet on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Freedom Fiends on the radio, Grandpa's Internet, and the Internet, and the satellites. And everything, everywhere, we are on. Everyone is on.
Yes, everyone is on, but not everyoneon.org. Michael, you sent me this that made me lol. And if you go to this website, you don't know what that means. It's everyoneon.org. And one of the tabs on their homepage says, "What is the internet?" Yes, on their internet homepage.
That was in the radio ad. It was like, it was a woman teaching an adult man to use the internet. And he's like, wow, there's more jobs on here than there are in the local paper. Wow. Maybe I'll be able to get a job.
And yeah, but like, that was on a radio ad. Yeah, so if you're listening to the radio, you're not on the internet
but they said, go to our website to learn how to use the internet. And like, they should have said, you know, send a stamped self-addressed envelope to our P.O. box and we'll send you a pamphlet on how to use the internet.
Wow.
Man, anybody that doesn't know, isn't on the internet at this point in some way, even at the public library. I mean, when I got on the internet in 1994 in San Francisco, or in 1991 in San Francisco on the what was it called? The Gopher. There were homeless people in there using the internet. I mean,
anybody who
hasn't used the internet yet, I kind of feel sorry for them. I kind of feel like, what did you say? Like some uncontacted tribe in Brazil shooting arrows at airplanes as they pass over. You know,
oh, man.
And I'm not saying you have to be a wizard with the internet and building the roads of the internet like you and I are. And our friend Cody Wilson, who's come up with, he made the printable gun and now he's making a way to make Bitcoin completely easy to use and completely anonymous. It's called Dark Wallet, and he's raised about, I don't know, $40,000 in donations.
Right.
And a bunch of Bitcoin.
And Dark Wallet is to keep your Bitcoin transactions, if you so choose, completely secret from everybody, because Bitcoin isn't by default completely anonymous. And we have actually a caller, Ramon from Miami, Florida, who wants to make a response to both Bitcoin and our last caller, Republican Rick. Ramon from Miami, are you there with us?
Absolutely, brothers. I don't know if you guys remember, we spoke not too long ago, man. I was praising you guys for the name. The Freedom Fiend name is definitely something that's catchy and very to the point of what people are, like ourselves, are out here about. You know, we're all about liberty, freedom. That's why I love the fact that you guys don't smoke cannabis, yet you are fighting for people's rights who do to have that choice, man. And you guys are awesome. But what I wanted to say to the last caller, The name itself speaks for everything, man.
Yeah.
If you're a Republican and you're still playing this left-right game that they play every 4 to 8 years, man, I don't know what to tell you. It's like you like living under tyranny and oppression, man. We are trying to liberate everyone. And that's why I salute you guys, man, because week in and week out, I try to listen to you guys as much as I can and call in as often as possible. But it's like, man, you guys are just reading my brain. It's like you guys pick the topics that just really intrigue people like myself, because I live in the ghetto of Miami, but I consider myself to be pretty aware of what's going on. So my whole goal is to try to get, you know, the less fortunate people in my neighborhood to get the understanding that they can improve their lives if they just stop believing in these false prophets like Obama.
Amen. Yeah, yeah, and that's the real work, man. I really appreciate what you're doing out there, Ramon. Tell us a little bit about people's response, because, you know, I live in Texas, and already we sort of have a default anti-authority stance out here in Texas. What do you get out there? You said, you know, out there in the ghetto in Miami. How do people respond when you tell them about that Obama's a false prophet, or that, hey, man, we just need to stop putting our faith in these authority figures? What do people say to you?
At first, back in like 08, 09, when he first got in office, it was pretty much a consensus amongst all people that, hey, if you give him time, he'll start to do the things that he promised. But now that he's later on in his second term, people are starting to realize that all they were empty promises, man. So I'm glad that Obamacare is, you know, helping people wake up, because that's one of the deciding factors for a lot of people that I speak to down here, is the fact that they were so sure that their premiums wouldn't rise, or they would have some sort of free, you know, socialist-like medical system. And now that they see that, you know, premiums are going up and a lot of people are getting dropped from their policies, it's helping them to understand that Obama and all the crony people that are trying to push this false capitalist society are all working to try to bring down the common man like ourselves. And I'm trying to get them to understand it starts in the ghetto. Because once you oppress one people, then it'll be easier to move on to the next section of society, which is the middle class.
Yes, you get it completely. I really appreciate it, Ramon. Thanks for being a true fiend. We appreciate your call.
Thank you guys, man.
Take care. Yeah, man, that's so good to hear. I love calls like that. People that are getting out there and spreading the message. And I think that's, you know, it's so great to hear a compliment on the name, too, because I pushed for the name hard when we were trying to come up with the name of Freedom Fiends. And
it's kind of tough, man, when I call radio stations. I call radio stations all day. And it's like, you know, first of all, the secretary is like, Freedom Teens, what? And, you know, then I have to spell it out phonetically. Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra, Fiends. It means a fiend. It is young people speak for fiend. And, you know, there are 16 brave radio stations out there that are playing us and see that the future of radio isn't old people. We like old people, but the future of radio isn't the current paradigm of old people hearing what they want to hear about some politician who's going to save them. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Because we've had 220 years of that, and it's gotten us to more tyranny, not less. So the Freedom Fiends offer a solution and a number of solutions, and they are shocking to people. And we even have to get over the basic problem of our name, Fiends. And, you know, I explain it to some people and they get it and they're like, okay, the youths might get that. And they put us on or take a chance with us. And, you know, we've had really good responses so far. But we want to talk about Bitcoin, which is scary to people who have to get a pamphlet to go to everyoneon.org and figure out how to use the internet. And those people could vote too. And those people put in, I mean, who was the politician from Utah that said, like, you know, some of the people that was like the head of the internet subcommittee. And the guy was like, the series of tubes. He described the internet
as Utah. I thought it was like Alaska.
Yeah. No, it was a guy in Utah that wanted to like make it so people were allowed to destroy your computer if you downloaded a song or something like that. But that guy owned a publishing company. He owned a music publishing company, that congressman.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
protecting his monopoly.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I mean, I think that if you don't understand it, that's fine. There's nobody forcing people to understand the internet or to understand Bitcoin.
Well, I wonder
about
this site.
We would ask the courtesy of not standing in the way of people who do understand.
And this site, Everyone On, I don't know if it's a government site or not, or if it's the UN or the White House or George Soros. It's one of these, like, fully formed think tank outreach groups that looks heavily funded, that's probably a 501c3, that like pops up from time to time and looks like it's a grassroots thing, but they have a lot of money behind them. You can tell because they have radio ads everywhere. Radio ads are inexpensive, but they have them everywhere, which is not inexpensive.
Right.
And I don't, you can tell people by the company they keep. This website is endorsed by both mayors Bloomberg of New York and Rahm Emanuel, you know, the guy who said for Obama, never let a crisis go to waste, of Chicago. And, you know, so it's bipartisan tyranny people, left and right, Republican and a Democrat, who are the two of the worst mayors in America, who want to take your guns and your rights. And but they want to give you the internet, apparently. But I think it probably comes with some strings attached somehow if those two are into it.
Well, yeah. And Bloomberg is apparently launching everyone on New York at a Harlem school, a public and private partnership that will provide internet access to low income families.
Obama's going to buy you a free internet.
I guess so. Yeah. You know, it reminds me of an old LouRockwell.com article I read about, you know, somebody that, you know, one of these disadvantaged youth that Michael Bloomberg thinks he's helping out. And the gist of the article was nobody has to teach kids like that how to operate their smartphone.
Yeah, you don't need everyone on. If you don't know how to use the internet, ask your kid. They just get it, man. They just go on it and they get it.
They get it. Yeah, and they get it because they want to get it. Here's the thing about humans. If they want something or they want to learn how to do something, they'll learn how to do it from the time they're born. I'm reading a book about babies' brain development because my daughter will be here in a matter of weeks, and babies know how to get you to teach them what they need to know. You don't even have to be that great of a parent. You just have to be, you know, there, and the baby will figure out ways to get you to teach him. And I feel like in a lot of people, that sticks throughout into their grown-up years, at least a big portion of their grown-up years, with I would say at least the majority of people. And so I don't understand. It seems like if you have a segment of the people who aren't online, maybe they don't want to be online. And why are you going to waste resources trying to push them towards there if they've already made some kind of conscious decision not to be?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can function in this society without being on the internet. People do it, you know, people that work in brick and mortar stores, people that are mechanics, people that fix physical things or sell physical things. It's harder if you're not on the internet. But then there's people like small government Republicans like Enzi in Wyoming who, you know, everyone says, oh, he believes in the free market, and he says it. He doesn't, because he backed the bill to tax the internet to protect brick and mortar stores in Wyoming. And, you know, I'm all for brick and mortar stores in Wyoming, but they don't sell things that everyone needs. They sell things that a lot of people need. But they don't sell, you know, the Comrex unit we connect to the satellite with. They don't sell the Presonus tube preamp. They don't sell 1961 Telefunken tubes for our tube preamp that we like to use. You know, so you got to order that stuff on the internet. So it's basically like putting a tax on the internet would be like, you know, when cars came out, if they'd said, we need to tax cars to keep whip and buggy manufacturers, horse and buggy manufacturers right, in right. business, you know?
And hey, man, you know, the market will decide. You don't need to force a tax to keep stores open. Some stores still will be open, the economically viable ones. There's probably still whip and buggy stores. There might be one in the whole world that sells one, their whips online.
And it's probably in Wyoming. And they're probably really surprised by how many whip orders they get from California and New York for some reason. By people named Mistress So-and-so or Daddy So-and-so. Yeah.
And so if you're into buying brick and mortar stores, and that's how you know, and that's how you know how to sell, and that's been your business model for years, then figure out the stores that people will want to go to in a world where they can get whatever they want online. You know, maybe it's a shop where they need to get their clothes tailored. Maybe they want to buy clothes, but they don't want to buy them online because they want to try them on first.
There will always be a ranch supply store in Casper because, you know, they sell things that are giant, that are for horses and are for ranches and farms and like
things that would cost a lot of money to ship.
To ship door to door.
So it's an economically viable thing to hold inventory of that in a place where people can drive.
Although they have to get shipped to Wyoming. I mean, that's kind of
but the business owner takes that with an economy of scale because he can ship in bulk. He can that's the whole thing. I mean, that's what the market is the person who figures out a way to get the goods to the people is the one who can make the money at it.
So in the next 40 seconds, I'm going to tell you what Bitcoin can be used for besides money. Bitcoin can be used for a lot of things. One is replacing the need for government controlled copyright. If you want to prove that you came up with a document before someone else, you can actually encrypt the document document, or not encrypt it, but make a PDF of it with a crypto unique number in it, and then put that number into the Bitcoin chain and send a Bitcoin from one address to the other, to your friend or to yourself, a fraction of a Bitcoin, and that'll be publicly viewable to everybody. And if you are associated with that particular address, it's one of your non-anonymous ones that you use for commerce, you can prove, I wrote this document on this date. You know, governments have vast monopolies, and they have armies, man. The copyright department they have cops, they have police in DC who are like the copyright police. They protect the copyright office. You don't need that anymore, man. That's stealing your tax money, and that's creating a bureaucracy that does things really inefficiently. But they will fight to keep their bureaucracy. They will be like,
yeah, because of jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, because people that don't want to go get retrained because they don't know how to use the internet, I guess. I don't know.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
All right, Freedom Fiends, thank you so much for sticking with us. It's been a fun show. This is the last segment. I am Nima Vedati out here in the Texas Hill Country. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in the wilds of Wyoming. How are you doing, Mr. Dean?
Holla, holla, holla. I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location, and you know the rest. And we're talking about Bitcoin, and one thing we're going to say it could be used for real quick before we take this call, it could be used for a distributed notary service. You'd no longer need someone to like vouch that you brought this document in on this date. And all sorts of like, you know, like filing things with courts, that could be done with Bitcoin too, because you can put anything in the blockchain and it's viewable to the public and provable that it came in at a certain time. And we're going to go to the phones and answer a call here from Blue calling in from Knoxville. Blue, you're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to speak to you, and welcome to the East Tennessee Market. You're on 850 AM WKVL.
Thanks.
Which is a delight.
Yeah. Yay. 850 AM, that's the big 50,000 watt station, huh?
Yes.
Nice, nice. Okay. Is this
it's a delight to have.
Is this the Blue that I know? Do I know you from California, or is it a different Blue?
It's a different Blue.
Oh.
Never been to California.
Wow. So what's up, Blue? Bitcoin?
Well, yeah, I do have a question. It's this one that I've always wanted to ask. Outside of services, okay, or exchange of value, meaning you go into, I know there's a subway that's now accepting Bitcoin, so you're getting a tangible product. Is there ever a point that there is an exchange of something tangible that you can hold in your hand outside of a piece of paper?
Yeah, people buy stuff all the time. I mean, actually, Subway, Sub Shops, some of them are taking Bitcoin now. And there's a lot of online places that take them for, you know, both digital goods and physical goods.
I think she brings up a good point, though. I'm really waiting for Amazon, and I really hope that there could be some kind of campaign to push Amazon to start selling in Bitcoin. I think it'd be really good for them, obviously, because of the Bitcoin price constantly going up. And then it would make it to where you can get literally everything in the world with Bitcoin. And I think that would be its coming out party.
And people do say that there's the problem of like what's called the menu problem, like in the Weimar Republic. And it's not going up and down like money did or went down in the Weimar Republic, where like you'd sit down at a meal at a restaurant and the meal would cost twice as much by the end of the meal. It's not like that. But, you know, there's a spot price thing with precious metals too, where it's not the price at the exact moment. It's kind of the agreed on price for the day or the part of the day. Or just electronically, it'd be really easy to calculate menu price at the end of the meal. And it's not going to fluctuate so much that anyone would feel ripped off or
wee. I feel like you'd want to do it at the beginning of the meal. But there I guess businesses would have to decide how that works.
I think when you order it, it'd be set when you order it. is how
right,
I do it.
Right.
Does that answer your question, Blue?
It does. It's just, I'm just with precious metals, that's something that I can hold in my hand.
Right.
Yeah.
That brings that I understand the, you know, what you were saying, that it's not easily dividable.
Yeah.
Right. Right. There is that issue. I think one of the ways Bitcoin deals with that, though, is that it's tangible to your eyes. It's tangible to a computer in that Bitcoin is a unique number that takes work to come up with. And it's agreed upon by everybody in the world who uses Bitcoin through the blockchain. So it's something you can show to people. It's something that's provable. So it's tangible in an information sense, not necessarily in a sense that you can hold it, but in the sense that it is something that has existence.
And it can also be used for to prevent censorship. Like our friend Cody Wilson was raising money for his printable gun project, which he succeeded at. But before he got it successfully off the ground, he was raising money through some, Kickstarter type thing. I forget. I think it was Indiegogo. And they said, you can't, you know, after you'd raised like tens of thousands of dollars, they said, no, you can't raise money for weaponry on here. And they stopped his campaign and refunded the money to everybody, and he had no way to get it. But then he went to Bitcoin and there was no way to stop it. WikiLeaks has done the same thing. You know, it keeps people from being censored with informational exchange of commodities. Thanks for your call, Blue. We really appreciate it. It's our first caller from Knoxville, and I like Knoxville, and it's really cool to get a caller from there. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your service. This has been the Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and
Nima Vedati, and join us for our Wednesday show midweek. Go to freedomfiends.com. You can download the upcoming Wednesday show as well as any show we've ever done, and lots more goodies there. That's freedomfiends.com.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.